Come to order, please. This is the Senate Special Committee on Education. We're dealing with two bills today. Senate Bill 1, which increases the amount of base student allocation, and after that, Senate Bill 10 on truancy officers. So on Senate Bill 1, Senator Wilken, we've had a chance to talk about this, and any additional comments you care to make?
No, thank you for bringing it back before us, and I think, as we all know, we need to wrap up education funding before the end of the session, and to whatever extent this bill helps in some small way, it's good to keep it on the front burners. Thank you for hearing the bill today.
Thank you, Senator. Any further questions? Do you have any comments from the nobody's signed up? Senator Wilken, could you just chat a little bit about the amount, $430, the increase, and I know it's sort of trying to pick a number out of the air, but the basis is 4% inflation and plus some additional monies for fixed costs, plus some additional monies to reduce class size. Is there any comments on the amounts and how you arrived at that?
The amount was arrived at back in November when we had to hang the details on the bill. And we asked the Department of Labor, as we always do, what the inflation was in Anchorage. For the first 6 months of 06, it was 4%, so we just increased it 4%. That was approximately, if I remember right, $40 million. We then said, well, that'll take care of inflation. We need to do some other things to try to reduce class size. And those kinds of things that give the districts just more money to spend in the classroom. And a frame of reference, and I said, well, what did we do last year? And last year we spent $145 million at the end of the session, of which $90 million was, $60 million, pardon me, was first TERS. So the difference there was about $85 million. So this bill is $88.9 million. So it essentially mirrors what we did last year. In regard to money to the classroom, and that's how the number was arrived at, Mr. Chairman.
Well, thank you, Senator Wilson. Any further questions of Senator Wilson? Okay, I would appreciate a motion then to move this on to Indian Regional Affairs. Senator Huggins, it's been moved move this on with individual comments and attach fiscal note and go to Community Regional Affairs and Finance. Is there any objection to that?
No.
Okay, so ordered. Thank you. We'll move on to the second bill we're dealing with, which is SB 10, an act establishing truancy officer positions for school districts. Mr. Obermeyer. Let's just take a brief at ease here. And we're dealing with Senate Bill 10, truancy officers. Mr. Obermeyer.
Good morning. I'm Tom Obermeyer, legislative aide to Senator Davis. It might require a preface, but Senate Bill 10, an act relating to truant officer positions in school districts, has been modified with a committee substitute this morning. Now, incorporating Senate Bill 31 on truancy from Senator Bundy. It now reads an act relating to truancy, which would incorporate the entire provisions of Senate Bill 10 relating to truancy officers as well in the second section of the bill. I'll read a brief explanation of the original sponsor statement regarding the truancy officer positions, and then I'll give an explanation if you would like, if you wish to, at that time, accept the committee substitute. What is the order you'd like?
I think that's a proper approach, Tom. If you'd first talk about SB 10, the reason for it, and you don't need to refer to the CS at this point. Then, if the committee wants to go on to the CS, we'll do that.
Okay. Thank you. The purpose of Senate Bill 10 is to enforce the compulsory school attendance requirements under Alaska Statute 14.30.01 and employ one truant officer for each school district in Alaska with an average daily membership, that's ADM, of at least 1,000 students, excluding students enrolled full-time in correspondence programs. Although the intent of Senate Bill 10 is remedial, not punitive, it authorizes truant officers to take legal action to identify truants and return them to school. State law and city ordinances can hold both the student and parents responsible for school attendance, imposing fines and other sanctions as warranted. Habitual truancy leads to high dropout rates and other antisocial behavior, including property crimes, substance abuse, teen pregnancy, and gang-related violence. More than half the prison population has no high school diploma. The earlier the intervention, the better the outcome. Most high school dropouts occur long before the senior year for social, emotional, and family reasons. Habitual truants often lack interest or connection with school and rarely get timely remedial academic assistance. After extended periods of truancy, they sense an impounding inability to catch up in credits to grade level or to pass the high school qualifying exam to graduate with a diploma. Senate Bill 10 is a stopgap in this downward spiral. Truant officers are but one more tool to help school districts stem the enormous dropout rate reflected in Alaska having one of the lowest graduation rates in the nation. While only 69.6% of all students in the nation graduate from high school with a regular diploma, Alaska posted a 63.6% graduation rate in 2006. Males and all minorities in Alaska except Asians graduate well below the national average. And this is from a research center cited on the document. These numbers must change. The state already has laws in effect to curb truancy, but no dedicated group to enforce them. District attorneys and OCS personnel are busy with other timely and urgent matters and are reluctant to take on truancy unless it is involved in cases on which they are working. No large school districts, with the exception of Juneau, have included truant officers in their budget since the state eliminated them 20 years ago. The need has never been greater. It is anticipated that truant officers will work with students, school district personnel, parents, local law enforcement, the courts, and Office of Child Services, that's OCS, as part of a combined effort to keep these students in school until graduation with a diploma. This will result in higher incomes and quality of life with fewer demands on state resources in the future.
That's the state. Thank you, Tom. So how bad off is Alaska compared to the rest of the nation? Can you give us some idea of that?
Well, there are statistics that indicate that the dropout rates, I think nationally, the numbers, the way they calculate dropout rates can be misleading because it will say maybe 2.3% dropout rate, but it doesn't truly reflect the number of kids that are truant. When you change large bodies of kids that are in the school system but never showing up for school, they're really truant, but they're still on the rolls, and the school districts are collecting their funding from the states for that purpose. It doesn't help the kids. The kids need to be back in school, and you might have a 2.3% dropout rate with a very low graduation rate. They don't necessarily correspond. In Alaska, for example, we have, about a 14% dropout rate for Alaska Native children, which is about twice as much as almost any other group in the composite, which is far higher than the national rate. Our graduation rate has remained one of the lowest in the nation, and many other states that you would think would do worse, again, there's a reporting procedure supposed to be modified nationally, many of those states are doing much better than Alaska. One of the biggest problems we see in the truancy problem is not just the fact that they aren't graduating, but they're going into a downward spiral into some of the worst problems that our society faces. They're into drugs, there's teen pregnancy, there's violence, there's gang activity, and these kids are never getting out of it. They're going into through the prison system, they're coming out and they're repeating this stuff.
Thank you, Tom. That's really shocking. The comments in your sponsor statement about more than half the prison population has no high school diploma, that's a pretty arresting thought. Senator Olson.
No, actually, I don't. I was
okay, and then also the idea that earlier invention the better. Two very good points. Senator Huggins.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Tom, you mentioned 20 years ago that we suspended truancy officers.
Yes, sir.
Could you give us a thumbnail sketch?
Yes, sir. And through the chair, Senator Huggins, I drafted a document that I hope you have. This is regarding state action regarding truancy. And this indicated that the truant officers are not new to Alaska. They were established long before statehood and were codified under the law, which was repealed in 1987. Truant officers are charged with the responsibility for enforcing compulsory school attendance until the age prescribed under the law. And a person knowingly failing to comply with these attendance requirements is guilty of a violation. So what this law does is it essentially puts a state officer in connection with a school district to try to get these kids back in school. It authorizes him in perhaps the most difficult situations to request a warrant from a court to compel their appearance before a judge. That, in other words, it would be an arrest warrant. And but the main thing is to have someone focusing on the problem who's on the streets, who also is working with the school system as a full-time position. And the large, what we did, we tried to keep the fiscal note down on this bill. It turns out that it's fairly substantial because they, at the same time, load in benefits. So we only have 13 school districts, that's indicated in your documents, that would qualify for 1,000 ADM, this method of calculating the number of children in each school district. And that that fiscal note comes up to around $1 million for just having these officers work with these large school districts. But of course, it's the large school districts that have the greatest numbers that are falling through the cracks.
Yeah, I guess my concern is, and this is a little bit of an overstatement, but I'll characterize it as a Gestapo person with hobnail boots that has his truancy officer bizarred on. And I'm sitting here reading, I just happen to have from a report from Matt Sue what they're trying to do with dropout and truancy and things of that nature. And I guess my natural inclination is to say that no matter how big a gun or how tall the truancy officer is, that we're biting at the wrong end of this. I mean, because this says that it's because kids aren't motivated. You can go to middle school, to upper end of elementary school, and recognize who the kids are. And what we're not doing is addressing these people at that time. We're letting nature take its course. They start missing more and more school. Their parents, for whatever reason, maybe aren't holding up their end of the bargain, but this 6'2", 199-pound truancy officer is not going to fix that.
No, he's
and that's
not.
My concern. Say again?
No, he's not by himself.
Through the chair, Senator Huggins, I also drafted a document that says the background of the truancy problem. We recognize that habitual truancy and attendant high dropout rates exacerbate other social problems, and it is very late in the period if you have a truant officer just goes out and grabs older children. But punishing truants alone will not work. I made a statement that keeping them in school will work, and while the traditional response to habitual truants has been suspension and expulsion, often coupled with referral to juvenile court or the child welfare system, the intent of providing state truant officers under Senate Bill 10 is to create a positive youth development. Research shows that it is counterproductive, and this brings up your point, to punish students who will not attend school by suspending them out of school or expelling them. Such policies only cause more students to drop out. Reducing truancy, as well as other social ills of youth, including violence, substance abuse, teen pregnancy, requires a secure and consistent learning environment, connections with caring adults, and recognition and development of unique strengths and talents of the students in the program. This approach should include parent and community involvement in helping young truants address the challenges they face rather than punishing them as social deviants and criminals. We're not trying to criminalize the concept of a truant officer, but they have people that are paying attention every day to the truancy problem in the school districts. And if they want to work at the earlier years when these children really begin to develop, developed a problem to drop out in the junior high school, middle school, and early high school years. This is when we see the greatest problem, because when they start getting behind and they don't achieve the credits necessary to graduate or stay in their own grade level, that's when they begin falling into the truancy cycle. If a truant officer had no authority at all, it would create a problem. The officer is permitted to work with the school district, presumably, and only in the most egregious circumstances attempt to try to go to court with these people, because if you're only punishing the parent with a fine, for example, you're not accomplishing too much. It does get the parents' attention if, as in the substitute for this bill that Senator Bundy was interested in, where you start identifying levels when you start working on the problem.
If I could stop you right there. I think Senator Huggins has put his finger right on the issue that that we've been dealing with, which is that this is a comprehensive matter, and that just to deal with truant officers, though an important tool, a very important tool, it's not the only tool. And so to that end, we have a CS that would be more comprehensive, would bring in all of the issues that affect truancy. And I think maybe we've already gone to that in our discussion. So if I could have a motion to place before us the CS.
Echo.
Thank you, Senator Huggins. So CS for Senate Bill 10 is ahead of us. Backslash E, if you have it there, it might be separate from your other materials. And I guess, Tom, the first question I might have is the title adequate? Do we need to expand that title to include all of the issues underneath this bill that we have in front of us?
Well, Senator Stevens, I think I'd have to leave that up to the committee. The original bill, of course, read an act relating to truancy officer positions. It was a very narrow bill, one-page document. Now we have an enlarged document that relates to truancy in general and incorporates truant officers. You know, they could be separated again, for that matter, or you could change the title to say an act relating to truancy and truant officers.
I think, you know, that is a pretty broad title, and maybe that would be just fine. Could you tell us, Tom, the differences between Senate Bill 10 and the CS that we have in front of us?
Yes, sir. Through the chair and members, I have drafted another document that you should have possession of. It's called Explanation of Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 10.
Okay, let's make sure we all get to the right page there.
And I would have additional copies if you don't have it.
The title is Explanations. Oh, not my, not about okay. Okay, thank you. All right, so it's Explanation of Committee Substitute for SB 10. Everyone have that? Okay.
At the request of the chair, we requested a committee substitute for Senate Bill 10, incorporating much of the language from Senator Bundy's Senate Bill 31, which related to truancy in general, in addition to some other ideas which had been brought forward for addressing Alaska's truancy problem. I should note we only received this CS yesterday, did not have a chance to make any changes. We found some areas in which the intent of the CS was not accurately met in the draft of the language, but we wanted to offer this substitute for committee discussion this morning. Keep in mind that the purpose of the bill is not to punish, but to engage truant students in the school system with active participation by the school, parents, students, other community resources. Petitioning the court should be a last resort, but it can serve a useful tool in limited circumstances at the option of the school district or truant officer. With that in mind, let me spell out briefly what the bill attempts to do. The intent of Committee Substitute 10 is to require each of Alaska's schools to develop a truancy plan in partnership with their school district and encourages them to work with other appropriate community resources. These might include mental health providers, court personnel, school district administrators, business owners, teachers, alternative school personnel, parent truancy teams, members of the public, and others. The CS preserves language from the original Senate Bill 31, including certain mandatory requirements for plans to require school contact with parent or guardian after a number of excused absences, as well as meeting with the guardian following additional excused absences. The CS removes one of the original Senate Bill 31's more controversial elements, which would have declared a child in need of aid or delinquent after a certain number of unexcused absences in a given month. This language is preserved but leaves this declaration to the discretion of those involved locally. While we expect truancy plans to be developed at the local level, the CS requires that the Department of Education provide district support in developing successful plans. The original version of Senate Bill 10 has been redacted verbatim in Section 2, page 2 of the committee substitute. This component of the bill requires the Department of Education Early Development to employ truant officers in large school districts with an average daily membership of over 1,000, excluding correspondence students. Truant officers would employ compulsory, would enforce compulsory school attendance requirements as stated in law. The $1 million fiscal note for truant officers covers both salaries and benefits in 13 qualifying districts. Districts may multiply the benefits of truant officers through joint efforts with other community resources. And I might add that in this substitute, some of the problems that could be worked out would be the number of days before you notify parents or ask parents to come in. And maybe rather than have any intention of going to court, you simply have a signed contract with the parent and the students, I think as they do in the Anchorage School District, after so many absences that they're going to comply and come to school. There are a number of things that are being done in a lot of the school districts here, and I hope there's maybe a couple of people to testify regarding this. I contacted both the Anchorage School District last night and the Juneau School District. Juneau is the only larger school district in the state that actually employs a truant officer as part of their budget. And if I don't know if they've notified Ian if they're available or online, but I did ask that request.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, we have several people signed up, and we'll get to those. Just a sort of housekeeping issue. It seems we need to be very clear who we're directing here, and it seems to me what we're doing is asking the districts to prepare. This is directed at the districts, not the schools, though the schools certainly would have their own policy, but we're looking for a district policy, and when we talk about the governing body, is that clear that we're not talking about the Department of Education, we're talking about the school district?
The school district, yeah. The school board, essentially. And that was not clear in some of the language in other states as well. They often use the governing body, and for the most part, we have boards that are presumably over the administrators in each of the districts, the superintendents and so forth. But they'll work in tandem, presumably, to try to employ some type of rationale for improving the truancy situation. And that would include personnel they may be using already, as well as community resources. And I might add that in your documents, you'll find that I had stated what, had indicated what other states are doing. And some of those states use parent truancy officer mm-hmm. programs. They employ the resources of the community, the businesses help employ some of these kids if they've been dropping out for lack of money. Some of the programs are very extensive, and they have mushroomed in Houston, Dallas. They have spent millions, but it's a larger group, of course. But they have broadened this out to have alternative school programs, so that when they identify the kids that are truant and they're dropping out for failure to make classes, they have a place to identify their problems, bring them back into the school, bring them up to speed, and get their graduation certificate.
I did appreciate that document. It's other state efforts to curb truancy, and one of the conclusions is that family participation is essential. And then I was very interested to learn about the peer pressure, too, that one district, New Haven, Connecticut, has a panel of high school students work with a student. You have youth and attorney mentoring, and so the students are really working more with their peers. Well, that's an interesting approach too. So before we go to comments from the public, any questions or comments from the committee?
Yeah, the one thing I didn't read, which it has to do with the sociological phenomena at the school site, other than learning and the person feel like a part, and that's the component of bullying. There are some places where bullying is a significant component of kids just fleeing the scene because of their concern of how they're treated by one or more individuals in the school site. So I would encourage us to someplace note that as we go along.
Absolutely. Okay, thank you very much. Any further comments? Well, let's go to the public here. We have Bill Bjork. As Bill was here, did he? We'll catch him when he comes back. Let's see. We have Mary Hakala from Juneau and does not wish to testify. Is Mary here? And what about Mary Becker from Douglas? Carl Rose. Anybody of those people care to comment? If not, be glad to have your comment if you'd care to, or later.
I think I signed up for Senate Bill 1.
What's that?
I thought I signed up for Senate Bill 1.
But I would like to hear from
Carl. Oh, you did. That's true. That's true. Senate Bill 1.
Wait, let's volunteering for this bill. No, seriously. I mean, he's one of our veterans that knows more about this than all of us combined.
Okay, Carl, you've been volunteered.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm Carl Rose, Executive Director of the Association of Alaska School Boards. I tried to weasel out of this one, but I had a chance to visit with staff this past week, and I would concur with Senator Huggins. The issue of truancy is much more than the stick. We need some carrots. We need some incentives. We need to engage kids in how important their education is. You'll find that the people who leave our schools, they see no value. They see no relevance. They don't appreciate that a free public education is being provided for them, and they don't see how that relates to them, so they exit our schools. And truant officers, though important, and trying to focus on truancy after the fact is very difficult to arrest the problem. I would share with you, you're going to put in excess of $1 billion into the educational system this year. What are we doing with those dollars to try to improve the quality of education, to engage young people in terms of how important it is? Some of the discussion that you had earlier about half the population in prison don't have an education. If we know that, why aren't we engaging kids earlier to try to help them understand how important an education is? I know this sounds very philosophical. The point is that public education is a huge, huge bureaucracy. It's staffed by people who care a great deal about kids, but it's not relevant to some of our kids. I've testified before you about some of our efforts with digital learning and how the attendance rates increase because kids see how interesting, how relevant, and how applicable technology is, in this case, digital technology, is to their livelihood. And there's your example, a huge connection. But for kids who have to sit through instruction that's being provided for them, and if you're offering a curriculum that is, if you're offering a moderate curriculum that's not challenging or relevant to kids, if you're not engaging them in their own learning, the outcome is that at an early age, shortly after middle school, they start to see that this education is not going to be relevant to them. So in this time of technology and media, kids start using that to pursue their own interests, which don't include school. So as my comments pertain to this bill, I think the responsibility of our schools is to examine how we can engage our kids. You know, I've been working with Ready for Work, and we've all talked about this whole idea of introducing relevance into our curriculum, and it's a real struggle. So I think I'm going to hold my comments there. I would say you're probably on the right track to address truancy in all its forms, but maybe the best way for us to do this is to take a look at the programs that we offer, the curriculum that we offer, the methods by which we instruct, and try to make it more relevant for kids, tying academics into practical application. I mean, for many of us who went to college, you know, my college career was not as relevant to me, I'm a business person, as it was when I went into business. I guess my best example that I would use is when you take accounting, it's kind of difficult academically to figure out what is a asset and what is a liability. But when you put your money into an inventory and it sits on a shelf and doesn't sell, it's a liability. You know, right now. So how do we translate practical application to education? I think that is one of the keys to how we make it relevant for our students. And I think, unfortunately, is the case. Many times the curriculum that we offer is fairly bland, and we don't make the connection of how it's applicable. So I don't have any more advice for you than that. I think truancy is a huge issue. But I think our ability to re-engage our kids and how important their education is. And, you know, when you use statistics like half the incarcerated population doesn't have a high school, you know, diploma, those are shocking kind of stories. So I have very little more to offer you than that.
Well, thank you, Carl. Could you talk a little bit about the any comments you may have on involvement of parents and involvement of peers? Does that help? Is that a way to move forward in curbing truancy with involving parents and other children, peers?
Mr. Chairman, we have a initiative at the School Board Association. It's the Alaska ICE, the Initiative for Community Engagement. Our statistics show that the more adults are involved in the development of young people, and I don't just mean parents, I mean people in schools, faith communities, whether they be coaches, social entities, the more adults are involved with young people to help them navigate their way through this sometimes toxic world that they live in. Their test scores actually go up. Their attendance in school actually goes up because somebody's reinforcing that their education is important. Just give you an example. If you have a child who's coming to school who isn't coming from a healthy family, they could be hungry, they could be afraid, they could be lonely, any number of things. Without some level of encouragement, it's very difficult to get that child to focus on their academics. And this happens in every school district in the state, everywhere in America. What are we doing as adults to try to help with these students' development? So we have the assets program that we talk about, 40 assets that if more people are involved with kids and the more assets that they have, developmental assets, that come to them from home, the more successful they are, the better decisions they make, the less likely they are to make those unhealthy decisions that could involve drugs or teen pregnancy or so on and so forth. We actually have the statistics. But these are things that you do as a community with your school, in your faith community. I mean, it's amazing what a community can do. So our work has been statewide with a number of partners to try to engage people to say schools are important, but kids are only at school for 7-8 hours. What can we do for our kids when they're not in school? You know, Can families do more? Can health faith communities do more? And the statistics are very clear. We can. All of us can do a little bit more.
Thank you, Carl. Any further comments, questions of Mr. Rhodes?
Well, yeah.
Carl,
you know, in Mat-Su, the term is couch surfing. But there's a significant number of kids that don't reside in their home. They just go from home to home to home, and they live on the couch or whatever, cot, or sleep on the floor, whatever they may be. Have you heard of any ways that have been used successfully to approach that particular? It's a tough group. I mean, there's lots of things that come to bear, but have you heard any success stories in how to deal with that particular migrating group?
This one success story right here in town is the Zach Gordon Center. They have a recreation center for young people who can gather there. It's supervised. It's 501c3. Boys and Girls Clubs. I mean, there are clubs that try to accommodate and make room for people who are, for young people who are wayward. You have alternative schools as systems reach out for kids who are not necessarily attached to the normal family experience. There are a lot of examples, but we have a lot of kids who are not necessarily seeking any kind of support, maybe not even aware that these kinds of supports are available.
Yeah. One other one, Mr. Chair.
Yes, please, go ahead.
Tom hit on it about the performance of Asian students. That was the one exception that you hit on. And I recall I spent a significant amount of time overseas in some Asian countries and actually went to some of the schools to see what they were doing. But the most telling thing I ever heard from a parent was this. They were asked by my stepfather about what their children could or couldn't do, and their answer was very simple. My son and daughter are students. They don't have time for anything else when they were talking about outside activities. If you go to the library, in this case, on the U.S. military compound, all the students there were Asian. But my question for you is, if Tom said that that's the one exception outside the bubble, is there anything for us to learn from? I mean, I know it's a family value system, but how to capitalize on that group to take some of the whatever's making their students successful over to some of the rest of us that aren't succeeding?
My grandfather was a coolie in Hong Kong. I'm a quarter Chinese. My family, I understand what you're speaking about. I can't claim that I took to the bit the way maybe I should have, but I will tell you this. Culturally, they put a great emphasis, and I'm talking about, you know, many of the Oriental cultures, and you know, they pool their resources. They work together. I'll give you just a brief example. You know, with the waves of immigration into Hawaii for agriculture, Chinese, the Japanese, and Filipino, you'll find that they came over, they invested their money, they bought property, they sent their kids to school. After three generations, the majority of the Hawaii legislature is Japanese. Governor Ariyoshi, Japanese. Governor Cayetano, Filipino. John Waihei, Chinese. It's a proven fact, when you pool your resources and you have a focus, you really don't have time for much else. You know, when your families put their total investment into the education and the well-being of their families, families flourish. It happens right here in Juneau. It happens everywhere you go. It's not necessarily an American culture, but when families, this is a perfect example, when families decide what is important and make that investment in their children, those children do perform. And I think the best example would be some of those Oriental cultures.
Thank you.
I'd really suggest you look at the chart we have that shows state and district patterns. It does show that of all cultures, well, in Alaska, 63% of our students graduate, 59% male, 66% female, 42% American Indian, 51% black, 68% white graduate. And the figure for Asians is 73%. It's pretty remarkable. And if you go down to the U.S. Level, actually, it's 77% nationwide of Asian students graduated. It's far and away higher than any other group. So they're doing something right. I think you've touched on an important issue. Thank you, Carl, very much. Appreciate your time. Always good to hear from you. We have a couple of people who are – I'm sorry –
I'll let you take the testimony, and then I'll say what I have to say.
Okay. From Kenai School, Glenn Simoniak. Glenn, are you with us?
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning, Glenn. For the record, would you identify yourself, please?
Yeah, my name is Glenn Simoniak. I'm the Assistant Superintendent for the Kenai School District.
Thank you, Glenn. Go ahead, Glenn.
I was talking to Sam Stewart, who works a lot with this, and he's in a meeting right now, but there were a few things that we would like to pass on. First of all, we support a truant officer. We can use all the assistance trying to get these students back in the school as possible. There's a few things that we're doing that seem to be effective in bringing students back in. Of course, we don't have them all back in, and it's still a problem for us as other schools in the state. One of the things that we have is several alternative programs. One of the programs that we're working on right now is a performance-based program, and that's due to start up next year. The purpose of that is so that students can enter in at any level and be assessed and then move from where they're at to where they need to be. So that would facilitate an alternative education for students that have missed a substantial amount of school so they can successfully come back in. One of the other things that we have here is we actually have a school in Spring Creek, which is a maximum security prison. So we're not giving up on students even though they land in prison. You know, we know that someday they're going to get out, so we're dedicated to making sure that they have an opportunity to get a high school diploma or a GED. Some of the issues that come up that kind of concern us are, you know, first of all, the loopholes for students that are missing school. You know, right now, basically all the parent has to do is say that they're excused, and that allows them to miss school. And so putting some teeth into that so that another entity has some say in whether they actually are truant or whether they're homesick. Some other loopholes are, you know, the homeschool program. Sometimes, you know, students come back in after several years. They may come back into school and really nothing has happened during that time. And in all reality, they haven't been doing school. So during that time, they were actually truant. Another huge issue is that, you know, if a new student moves into our district and we don't know about it, I mean, they can move in and live somewhere in some of the back roads or something, and we have no way of knowing that they're there or tracking them. And so, you know, that becomes an issue. It's the only way to know that they're there is to have someone call us up and say, this person is out there. And again, without a truant officer, we don't even have the resources to go investigate. I mean, principals do go out of their way to check on things like that, but it may be put off for a week or more because of their schedule. I think one other issue that I've really never heard being brought up, and I think we need to be real careful of, in my experience as a middle school principal watching students come through, even at an early age, some of these students become involved in criminal activity, selling drugs, sex crimes, theft, vandalism, fighting, and major disruption to a school. Often these students find out that, you know, they're going to get caught in school, and that's not acceptable behavior. So rather than facing criminal charges, they end up dropping out and kind of go into hiding. Just throwing those kids back into school, there's a lot of students leaving school and families choosing not to go to school because of these disruptions and their students being victimized at school. So what we're trying to do is bring them back in to make sure that we allow for alternative options. We've got Connections, which is a homeschool. Again, we've got Kenai Alternative School, Homer Flex, and we try to figure out the best place for those students to be successful. So the idea is to offer a full spectrum of alternatives and means of instruction for these students to be successful. And one of the programs that we offer for students that are out because they've brought a weapon to school or they've incurred a major suspension is we call it ATOS program, where they're suspended from school for long term, but they continue to get the lessons from the school, from their teacher, and there's an intermediary person that makes sure that they get the lessons and get them back into the teacher and they get graded. Also, a component of that ATOS program is a parent education component that teaches, you know, that works with the parents to let them know how to work with their children and make sure that they stay successful and stay in school. So a lot of the things that I heard during earlier testimony and in the bill sounds real good, but we just didn't want to make sure that some of these other ideas stayed in there so that we're just not plopping dangerous students in the classroom.
Well, thank you very much,
Clayton. Mr. Chairman.
You made some very good points there. Senator Davis?
May I ask the question?
Please, yes.
Did you have a chance to see the bill? Do you have the bill in front of you?
No, I don't. That was going to be faxed to me this morning. Evidently, it was not an electronic form. It was just in paper form.
But you have had a chance to look at SB 10 in its original?
No, I haven't. Ian Lang was going to fax that to me this morning.
All right. Thank you.
We'll get a copy of that to you, Glenn. Just a couple of questions. I really appreciate your testimony. We have a report from Legislative Research Report talking about the various school districts. I think one of the problems that we have is the definition of what a truant is may vary from district to district, and that's one of the things I'd hope that in this bill, we make it very clear what it is, so we can at least know how everyone is doing statewide. And your district is not on our list either. It means you're awfully good and you don't have any truants, but it sounds like that's not quite the case. Somehow we don't have a consistent reporting process. Would you have any comment? I mean, I appreciate your thoughts on homeschool program, and of course we've always said great things about homeschool, how supportive, how successful it has been. But you were suggesting that some parents may just say, my kid is homeschooled, so he doesn't, and sort of enabling the kid to be a truant. Is that what you've implied?
That's accurate. You know, my experience has been that the students that are homeschooled kind of fall into one end of the spectrum or other. They come back in, and they're some of our best students. Or, boy, sometimes they've missed 1 or 2 years of school. You know, I've asked students, you know, what have you done? They said nothing.
I see.
But again, you know, other students come in, and they are high flyers.
Certainly. Thank you, Glenn. Questions? Senator Harkins.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Glenn, number one, thanks for your testimony. You hit on a couple things that I just want to resonate for a moment, and you mentioned performance-based. My wife is a principal in Mat-Su in an alternative school, and the business of performance-based, is, as she tells me and you have reiterated, is very, very important for the reason you stated, to be able to get students that for one reason or another are potentially behind or haven't been in school or haven't, their achievement level is down, so that you can figure out quickly where they are and you have a system to dovetail them in so that they can begin the system of having some success. Is that roughly what you said, reference performance-based?
That's exactly what I was talking about. Having these students come in and being placed in a situation where they're doomed to fail is not a good option. Being able to find out where they're at and begin from there so they can have almost immediate success is essential. One of the interesting things, and I don't know if Commissioner Sampson has been able to talk about his ideas for new programs, this WorkKey program that he described to the superintendents when we were in Juneau, it has all the components of things you would look for that would add to the success for these students.
Yeah, Glenn, the other one you didn't mention, I just wanted to see if, I know Mat-Su, the school that my wife is at, has a daycare center. Does any of the Kenai schools have a daycare center?
We're working on that right now. The Kenai Alternative School, it works with the students, but we don't have an in-house daycare. That's one of the things that we're looking at offering next year.
Yeah. And I noticed you mentioned the bullying component. You know, I mean, by natural inclination, wish we didn't have alternative schools. The unfortunate part about it, if we don't have them, it'll be shame on us, because the sole reason that you touched on, number one, was the performance-based piece. But more important, in my estimation, one of the key to successes of alternative schools is that they pay attention to the kids. They tailor a system to individuals versus groups of people, and it appears to work for a select segment of our student population. Anything you have to say on that?
Well, all I have to say is I totally agree with you. You know, a lot of our schools, the traditional way is set up with, you know, large classes of students kind of moving through lesson by lesson, and that doesn't work for some students. So having the alternative is a great option. And some of the electronic learning methods are highly interactive with teachers, and we're finding those to be successful as well.
Yeah, and one final note. I know Carl Rose is here with us, and I look forward to hearing group-wise from him on the electronic learning piece, which he is marketing. I think makes good sense. But thank you very much, Glenn, for taking the time out of your schedule today.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thanks, Glenn. I really appreciate it, and we'll keep in touch with you. We'll get a copy of this bill down to you. We have one more person signed up, and that's Lou Costin from the Juneau School Districts. Lou Costin, are you with us?
Yep, I'm here.
Thank you, Lou. If you'd identify yourself for the record, please.
My name is Costin. I'm director of
the Juneau. Speak up.
Yes, and if you get closer to the mic there, Lou, and please go ahead. You're the director of the Student Services. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you. Well, I really appreciate the opportunity to speak a little bit about this subject. As you know, Juneau School District has had a truancy cracker for the past few years. And recently, you know, every year it becomes an issue of whether or not we can continue to fund this position. And one of the questions that comes back to me regularly is, can you show data? So I guess I'd like to read a little bit to you of what I had shared with the school board here recently during our budget process.
Okay, thank you, Lou. Go ahead.
Not all of the efforts of the truancy tracker can be captured through data. In the case of the truancy tracker, we cannot measure the positive impact of students and families or the coordination of agencies to support students and families or the change in attitude of a particular student toward learning. The role of the truancy tracker plays far greater than portrays data alone. According to research, students are absent for a variety of reasons, including sometimes willful truancy. Situations of truancy, the problems causing absenteeism are often poverty, neglect, lack of parental support or understanding of the importance of education, peer influence or difficulties, boredom, influences of drugs and alcohol, or lack of engagement. It is also the role of the truancy tracker to complement the efforts of building administrators and staff in determining the true problems manifesting in school truancy. Only then can attention be directed towards successful prevention and intervention strategies. With that said, we did have, or we do have, some data that I was able to share over the past 2 years to indicate successful interventions by the truancy tracker. But it's really important, and I'm pleased to hear you discussing this, that the truancy tracker does not work alone. It's absolutely essential that the truancy tracker or officer be integrated with all the other agencies in the community. In our case, the person happens to be an employee here, but we also work with DJJ, we work with OCS, we work with all the other agencies in town that may have some role in successfully supporting the student. We make house visits. We really try and investigate the reasons why students are truant. And it was interesting to hear your comments about, peers, because sometimes peers play a very counterproductive effort. In the case of some of our students that are truant for poverty reasons, that's the reason why they just don't come to school, because they don't have the clothing to be cool. They don't want to be seen in a free and reduced lunch line. They want to avoid that that stigma that comes with the poverty. So there's, a lot of things at play in here. We are fortunate, though, to have the truancy tracker, and she's done an awesome job. However, in Juneau, when you're addressing, school district sizes, it is too much of a job even for one person here to make the successful interventions that need to occur. So, we're at that point where you need to pick and choose and, try and work on these for families that that you can have the most positive impact on. We also work very closely with school counselors, and we have a plan with our high school counselors and middle school counselors for the parental contacts and home visits and, bringing those folks back to the school and trying to find out the true cause of why it is With that said, you also had mentioned a definition pertaining to habitual truant, and it's kind of interesting. In Juneau, we do have, it really varies, but if we have a student that has missed four classes at the high school level, it's at that point where our system begins to kick into gear, and we're trying to find out what's going on. And, you look at the data and you see, what the dropout rate is in Juneau, and you look at, truancy reports, and I could only help but wonder what it might be if we didn't have all of these interventions. So I'm pleased that we do have these interventions, but I know that we also need to continue the effort and put a lot more into it yet again. And that's about the only comment I have. I'd be more than happy to try and answer any questions that you might have.
Well, thank you, Lou. I really appreciate your taking the time to be with us and comment. As I mentioned, we have a report from the legislative research report talking about truancy. And I think one of the problems we're facing is a lack of maybe real clear consistency on and how do you define as a truant. And
And there seems to be some differences there. And when you look through these numbers, they're sort of surprising. But maybe we just need to have a clearer idea of who is and who is not a truant. So have you had a chance to look at this bill at all, Lou, physically look at the bill we have?
It came in late last night, and I looked at it this morning. You know, I glanced through it pretty quickly. So, yes, I have had a chance to look at it, but I've not had a chance to study it.
Sure. You don't see anything in there that would at all tie the hands of what your district is doing. You are the only district in the state that has a truant officer, and I think what this bill would do is simply lay out some ground rules, and I don't think it would take away from what you're doing and should add to it.
I did not see anything in looking at it that would take away from any of our efforts here. I just think your comment, too, is well made. It would be really helpful to have a consistent practice across the state. For example, we work the state, we have an NCL report that we have to do on expulsions and truancy. And when I've worked with Scott Brocious at EED, you know, what we talked about is dirty data. And it's dirty data because it's not consistent. There isn't a consistent standard across the district, the entire state, of what any of those terms really mean. And so it would be helpful, I believe, for districts to know, you know, what that standard is that we're all supposed to abide by. And then we can begin to start having clean data to make decisions.
Well, thank you, Lou. I really appreciate your time. I appreciate all you've done. One thing that just struck me, I mean, a pretty minor thing in what you said is kids from a home that's in poverty may not come to school because they don't want to be seen in the line of free and reduced lunch. I mean, that seems to me an issue that we could solve somehow, and look forward to hearing any thoughts you may have on that at a later date. So our time is rapidly running out. Thank you very much, Lou. Appreciate your time. And Senator Davis, comments you'd care to make as we come to a conclusion here today?
Well, thank you for bringing the bill forward. I know that this is an important subject that needs to be dealt with, and this is just the beginning of that. I would like to just express that this is an ongoing problem, has been an ongoing problem for many, many years, and many school board members, superintendents, and principals and teachers all come forward and said that they need help in that area. It can't be done by one person, but us taking a lead and saying that this is an important issue that needs to be dealt with, and we want to catch these kids in an early intervention stage so they don't turn to be dropouts. You know, you start off with the truancy, you're missing school 2 or 3 days a month, and the next thing you know, they're dropped out altogether. And the school district keeps saying they don't have the funds to fund that position. And when we decided not to fund it years ago, we thought it was something that the school district might be able to take up on their own. But over the period of years, I guess they've come up with programs, but never had a designated truant officer. And then if you call the police, they don't want to participate because they have other pressing things to do. So it's just hard to pin it down. And this way, with us looking at it, maybe having a truant officer, or it could be used according to how the school district wanted to utilize that individual. At least there would be someone that would be responsible for gathering the data that need to be gathered and working with the community, and that would be parents, nonprofit organizations, school district personnel, anyone that wanted to be involved. And all the things that have been said today, yeah, we need to be concerned about all those things. But the issue is, yeah, there is a problem with truancy, and we need to deal with that. I'd like to see the bill come back at a later time to give people time to look at the new CS and be able to take public testimony again at a later time.
Thank you, Senator Davis. That's certainly my intention. As soon as we find a time on the schedule when we can meet. We've had some problems meeting because of the subcommittees of finance, but we will bring the two bills back and discuss them and decide what this committee wants to do. Appreciate everyone's involvement. Thank you very much, and we are adjourned.